The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing, a big day coming up as well with the start of Royal Ascot 2014. Alongside that, we have Stratford and Thirsk, Brighton, Nottingham and Sligo are the three evening meetings. That's all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 2 p.m. So do tune in for all of that. Right now, though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
In deep depression, Mark. I thought the Naps were going well at the middle of last week, and now I'm narrowing it down to two and choosing the wrong one every time.
Oh dear. Well, that's not good news, John.
However, it'll change for Royal Ascot.
It will, yes. 5 days to change it, John, and what 5 days we've got coming up at Royal Ascot?
A wonderful 5 days, yes. In a way, it's a pity it clashes with the World Cup, but it is tremendous racing.
It is. We're going to look ahead to that shortly. We're going to get John's thoughts in three of the races on the opening day. But before we get to that, as usual, we're going to do the Monday jury on this edition of the podcast. We'll start with the first question, John, to get straight stuck into it. Who do you think will win the Guineas rerun in the St James's Palace Stakes? Obviously, it's Kingman against Knight of Thunder. What do you make of that, John?
No, Kingman will win. I'm absolutely convinced of that, Mark. I thought the 2,000 guineas was a bit of a farce, splitting right down each side. Kingman did nothing wrong. The race has worked out extremely well. Prior to the guineas, Kingman had looked a world beater at Newbury in the Greenham and came back to form very much so in Ireland last time out. So Kingman, for me, to beat Knight of Thunder. I know that there are people who believe that Knight of Thunder actually would have won a little bit more at Newmarket had he got a clear run earlier and not veered slightly across the course. Possibly so, but Kingman, to me, is the one that will win.
Okay, well, that's one of the races that John's going to look at tomorrow, so we'll go into a little bit more detail with that later on, but we already know John's selection. He thinks Kingman will win. The second question, can you see anything preventing Trave bouncing back in the Prince of Wales?
No, and I don't think she's really got to bounce back either, Mark, because, she was beaten first time out, only time out this season, but the horse who beat her, Cirrus Day's Aigle, has proved to be absolutely spot on, seems to be getting better every time. Let's hope that setback, you know, won't be too serious and keep him off the course too long. They went hell for leather against each other up the home straight. It was a sprint over the last two or three furlongs. Trave just went down, possibly needed the race a bit. And, you know, she was absolutely excellent in the arc, and I see no reason why she should not come back to her best.
Okay, she's 4-6 to win the Prince of Wales Stakes. And whilst it might have looked a little bit disappointing on her reappearance when she finished second behind Cirrus Day's Aigle, his form subsequently shows that he's right back to his best, and he's a top quality animal in his own right, isn't he? So for Trave to run that well on reappearance looks good, doesn't it?
Very much so, Mark. Yes, Cirrus Day's Aigle, like some of us, gets better with age, you know, and is absolutely spot on.
Okay, moving on to the third question. Who is your selection for the Gold Cup? It's a pretty good renewal of the Gold Cup this year, John. We've got Leading Light at the top of the betting, who's Aidan O'Brien's. Colty's obviously got a good record in the race. But then if you look at those beyond him, Brown Panther comes into the race in the form of his life. You've got Tactical Boitron, should it have a bit of a downpour before the race. Estimate, last year's winner, coming back to defend her crown. I suppose the worry with her is that she hasn't had a prep run, and to win the Gold Cup, she'd have to replicate the Great Yates by winning it without a prep run. But what do you make of the Gold Cup, John?
Brown Panther.
Yeah?
No question, Mark. I think Brown Panther has been one of the most improved horses this season. A charismatic horse, of course, trained by Tom Dascombe for Michael Owen. Michael thinks, you know, the world of this horse, and I'm not surprised. I thought Brown Panther was extremely impressive at Chester, and even more so in the Henry II Stakes at Sandown. All right, some would say didn't have a great deal to beat, but he he was actually running over a longer distance, and I thought he settled marvellously well. That was the vital point to me. Richard Kingscote, who incidentally is very much an underrated rider, gets on remarkably well with Brown Panther, was able to put Brown Panther to sleep for much of the race. And I was very struck by the way that when Richard asked him to quicken around about the 2 furlong marker, Brown Panther, you know, really lengthened and went away. I don't think stamina is any problem. He's a really good galloping horse, and I think he's got an excellent chance of beating Leading Light. Obviously, Leading Light is the one he's got to beat. You know, if the St. Ledger form is reproduced here, then Leading Light's going to be very, very hard to beat. But I have been impressed with Brown Panther. As for the other two, Tacta Boitron, useful horse, but needs the mud. Estimate, I think, has had a bit of a setback. Mm. Sir Michael, more or less, made that plain, suggested that Estimate was back on song. If the ground were to dry out suddenly and become as, you know, quick as a road, then perhaps Estimate would have a chance. But I thought Estimate had to work hard to win last year, whereas the two principals here, Brown Panther and Leading Light, or perhaps the other way round, are class animals and will be very hard to beat. I'm a Brown Panther man, though.
OK, Brown Panther for John, then. In the Ascot Gold Cup, moving on to the fourth question, who do you like in the major sprints, the King Stand and the Diamond Jubilee?
Well, this is tricky. Mm. I'm going to go for Hot Streak in the King's Stand because I was very struck with the way that Kevin Ryan spoke about him after Hot Streak had won the Temple Stakes. You know, he almost burst into tears with excitement and admiration for the horse. He was actually quoted as saying that he was the best that he'd ever trained. I thought Hot Streak was very impressive there. And, OK, he was beaten by Soul Power narrowly in the Palace House Stakes, I think it was, at Newmarket before that. But he's been brought to the boil, I think, at the right time. So Hot Streak is mine for the King's Stand.
Okay.
The Diamond Jubilee is a little bit trickier, I think. And, you know, there's some old favourites running in that. Soul Power could easily perhaps go for both of them. I think he's certainly not regressed over the year. Must go well. And so must Gordon Lord Byron. He's a favourite horse of mine. I think he's got a really sound chance in that race. But my selection's going to be Marek. In that contest, I was very struck with the way that Marek came back to form at York last time out and absolutely streaked away inside the last furlong. He looks again like a horse who is, say, improving with age. That perhaps would be not quite accurate, but is back at the top of his form as he's had another year under his belt. And, you know, his attractive Irish trainer looks as though she's got Marek absolutely spot on for this contest.
Okay. On to the penultimate question, and a nice easy one here, John. Give us the winners of the Royal Hunt Cup and the Wokingham.
The Royal Hunt Cup, I don't think I've ever had a winner of the Royal Hunt Cup. It's an awful confession to make, Mark, but I thought Sir Michael Stout's horses are in very good shape, and Abseil was an excellent winner for Sir Michael last time out. I just got the impression before the race that you know, the Newmarket guru might not have felt that Abseil was quite right and that it was possibly a trial for the Hunt Cup. Well, in fact, Abseil you know, really put the others to sleep inside the last furlong, quickened away. I think if he has improved on that form, it's going to be very hard to beat at Ascot. I also like Farage. I've always liked Farage, and I thought Farage won extremely well last time out. Those are two well-fancied horses. Well-fancied horses don't often win the Hunt Cup, though. I think Abseil and Farage will run well.
Okay, moving on to the other race, John, that we just mentioned there, the Wokingham Stakes. That's not much easier. 12 to 1 the field for that race.
No, I'm going with two Northern horses in this race, though. I don't think horses win back-to-back in the Wokingham very often, but I thought York Glory showed a lot of promise first time out. His only outing so far this season, given a very quiet, patient ride, and so was creeping closer in the closing stages there, and York Glory will be absolutely spot on for the Wokingham, but stats will prove that that's going to be very difficult to be successful twice in a row. So Baccarat could come good for Richard Fahey. Baccarat is a sprinter, handicap sprinter, who has been prominent in all big handicaps like the Wokingham over the past two seasons. Sometimes he's managed to get his nose in front, more often he's just been beaten. It could be his day. So Baccarat for the Wokingham.
Okay, Baccarat for the Wokingham. Then on to the final question of this week's Monday Jory. Who do you expect to end this week as top jockey and trainer?
Even trickier than most of the other questions. Everyone will say Aidan O'Brien. I'm going to go against Aidan O'Brien. I think Richard Hughes and Richard Hannon have actually got a large number of quietly fancied horses, particularly in the two-year-old races. I think Richard Hughes has got one or two excellent outside rides as well. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the dual Richard ending as a champion trainer and champion jockey.
Okay. Well, Joseph O'Brien and Ryan Moore are the 13-8 favourites in that betting. 7-2 for Richard Hughes if you fancy him to be a top jockey, and then it's 12-1 barring those three. As far as top trainers concerned, 1-2 for Aidan O'Brien, 7-2 for Richard Hannon, Sir Michael Stout 11-2, 10s for John Gosden and 25s barring those. So a couple of 7-2 pokes there, John.
Yeah, it's not too bad, actually. I think they're reasonably fancied, and, you know, if they have a decent run early on, they could be very hard to beat. The question mark is, will Ryan Moore get sufficient rides to actually put him in front? I do think he's in outstanding form, Mark Ryan Moore.
He is riding out of his skin. Anyway, let's leave that there and move on to the action itself. We're going to look ahead to day one of Royal Ascot 2014.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, on to day one of Royal Ascot then. Most of the races are priced up on site, and all of day one is priced up as well. If you go to the horse racing pages and scroll down to the bottom, you'll see Royal Ascot down there. And the first race that John's picked out is the 3.05, and this is the Coventry Stakes, a Group 2 for two-year-olds over 6 furlongs. And the betting is headed by War Envoy for Aidan O'Brien, who's 7-2 market leader. Ade is 9-2, 13-2 for the Wow Signal for the Quins. The Cool Company is 8-1, 10-1 for Capello Sansevero, 12-1 for Justice Good, Dr. No is 14s, 16s for Portamento, and 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. Aidan O'Brien with a favourite here, John, War Envoy. Won this race last year, of course, with War Command. Do you see him backing up? Do you see him winning it for a second year in succession?
No, I hope not, anyhow. But okay. He might do well. Yes, he's got every right. Don't be a silly button. I mean, he has every right. On the other hand, he was beaten at Nace last time out, and the horse that beat him is in the race today, and that is Cool Company, spelt with a double K. And I've been very impressed with Cool Company. It's one of the reasons why I think Richard Hannon and Richard Hughes have got a good chance of topping the list at the end of the week, starting off well here. I don't really see why War Envoy should reverse form. Cool Company was a good winner at Windsor, and I saw him run for the first time at Leicester, Mark, and I was very impressed with him at Leicester. And I remember saying afterwards, and we discussed it in the studio, if this horse goes to Royal Ascot, he will have a good chance. So I think Cool Company has every right to be considered as good as War Envoy. But I'm a loyal man, and people sometimes will say loyalty, of course, is an absolute absurdity. It's the way to penury in racing, and in many cases it is. But the Wow Signal has done nothing wrong, and John Quinn's horses are in great form. Now, if you saw this horse win at Ayr, admittedly some people would say it was a Mickey Mouse race compared to the Coventry, but my goodness, the style with which the Wow Signal scored up in Scotland was, you know, worth going a long way to see. And the horses he beat comfortably have both run and won well since. Dr. Charm completely trounced rivals at Ayr recently. And perhaps more importantly, the third horse, Jungle Cat, won in excellent style at Goodwood, having been completely out of the back behind the Wow Signal. So why shouldn't he win? He's well fancied. I'm going to go for two English horses in this race. I want the Wow Signal to win, and I think Cool Company will be chasing him home.
Okay, the Wow Signal then for John Quinn, being recently acquired by powerful owners as well, and Frankie Dettori in the saddle, and the other one for Richard Hannan and Richard Hughes, Cool Company in the Coventry. On to the next race we're going to look at, the 3:45, the King's Stand Stakes. It's part of the British Champion Series and Global Sprint Challenge, a Group 1 for three-year-olds and over the 5-furlong trip. Fast and Furious this, and Hot Streak heads the betting at 3-1, Shea Shea 4-1, 5-1 for Soul Power, last year's winner, 8-1 for Pearl Secret, Guerre is 11-1, 14-1 for Artug, Steps is also 14s, and 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. Hot Streak, John, comes into this in good form. You've already mentioned that you like the look of him, so tell us why.
I think he's got a great chance. One of the reasons why I think he's got a great chance, Mark, is that he's quite capable of making every yard of the running. And in the King's Stand, I think that is actually quite a good thing to be able to do. There's always a hot pace. He hit the stalls, really pinged them last time out in the Temple Stakes, and I see no reason why I shouldn't do the same again. And not only is he capable of maintaining a gallop throughout a race of this nature, but he can also quicken a bit at the end. Kevin Ryan thinks he's absolutely, you know, the top horse that he's had, certainly the top sprinter he's had, and he's a pretty good judge of that kind of thing. So I think Hot Streak's got a major, major chance. Obviously, Shea Shea is going to be very hard to beat. Do you back Shea Shea, Mark?
No. I know Shea Shea's got a very good chance, but I've got preference for Soul Power, last year's winner. Got the better of Shea Shea last year, of course, and he's also beat Hot Streak this season. So with the ground coming good as well, that's in his favour. I'd probably lean towards Soul Power myself.
Yeah, well, he's got a very good chance. There's no doubt about that. And Soul Power is, you know, one of the most reliable sprinters in training, and has been for the last couple of seasons. And as you say, one, I think it was the Palace House Stakes when Hot Streak was close up behind. It's got to have a big chance. Shea Shea, though, I'm a bit like you, Mark. I can never get Shea Shea right, and I tend to just put a pencil through Shea, which I will do here. There are others. You've mentioned Soul Power, who is a major player. There is no question about that. And just a couple of others that might go quite well in this race. And they are the ex-Mark Johnston horse now with Clive Cox, Escalove, who I thought ran remarkably well at York last time out. And let us not forget a certain little horse beginning with J and having a second letter D, Jack Dexter.
Yeah.
I looked at the ground forecast for Ascot on Monday afternoon, and there was still a bit of soft mentioned. Now, if it doesn't dry out too quickly, Jack Dexter could go quite well at a price. He has disappointed so far this season, but those of us who've been watching Jim Goldie know that that trainer has his horses in really excellent form. And if Jack Dexter comes back to the type of form he showed at Ascot when just mugged by Slade Power last autumn, he could easily be a big player at a big price. But for me, it is Hot Streak who will probably win.
Okay. Just looking for Jack Dexter in the betting. 33-1, John, and he finished fourth in the race last year. So
yes. Well, I think it's a good each-way chance at 33-1. I really do. There have been excuses for one or two of his defeats. The ground was probably a bit too quick first time out at Doncaster. He was badly drawn next time out. Disappointed at York, one has to admit. He didn't pick up. But he is a good horse. There is no question about that. And 33-1 each way for Jack Dexter, could be really quite an interesting little bet in this race.
Okay, good stuff. On to the 4:25 next, the St James's Palace Stakes, another race that's part of the British Champion Series. It's a Group 1 for three-year-olds, and it's over a mile, and it's the rematch between Kingman and Knight of Thunder, the Guineas pair, of course. Kingman, even money. Knight of Thunder, 5-2. War Command, 11-2. 8-1 for Tormore, and then 20-1 and double-figure prices for the other runners. First of all, John, do you see it between Kingman and Knight of Thunder?
Probably, Mark. Probably, I would say. I use that adverb advisedly because I don't think Tormore is out of it. Tormore was actually quite well beaten in the 2,000 guineas, but we must always remember in that, something like a farcical race, in that they divided into two groups early on, the principal player in doing that was Tormore and Richard Hughes, or the other way around, Richard Hughes on Tormore. It was he who veered towards the stalls early on and set up the sort of two-group type of race. And in the end, Tormore was quite well beaten, but he made much of the running in that 2,000 guineas. I wouldn't be that surprised to see him run quite well. He had, after all, won three races in quick succession before the guineas and was very impressive in Ireland last year. And he's a decent horse, so at 8-1, he's got a chance. But for me, Kingman is outstanding. I thought he was outstanding at Newbury. I thought he was unlucky in the 2,000 guineas, came back to his best form in Ireland last time out. I think John Gosden regards Kingman as a really serious horse, and I hope to see him prove it.
Okay, so you fancy him to reverse the form with Knight of Thunder then?
Very much so. I see absolutely no reason why he shouldn't. In the 2,000 guineas, he was right on the opposite side of the course. He had hardly anything to race with. In my view, it was unfair to criticise him for that defeat. And I should be very disappointed, actually, if Kingman does not beat Knight of Thunder.
OK. Good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then, Johnny, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Well, in the King's Stand, we're with Hot Streak. In the St. James the Palace Stakes, Kingman. And the missing one is, of course, the Coventry, which is the first one at 3:05. Mm-hmm. And here I am with the wow signal for John Quinn.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, John. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord Budden on Tuesday's racing. It's the start of Royal Ascot 2014, and you'll hear all of the action on William Hill Racing Radio from 2 p.m. Mick Norton, Lord Budden and Brian Toomey will be in the studio. We have Royal Ascot day one, and there's also Stratford and Thirsk in the afternoon. Brighton, Nottingham and Sligo will take us through the evening, so plenty of action to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.